just to drop this in your spirit tonight, starting on the 3rd of September, which is coming up pretty quick, we're going to start a 21-day fast. And Ben Daniel's fast, and then going through the 12th, ending on the Day of Atonement. So I want to deposit that in your heart so you can be thinking about it, getting yourself ready to fast and seek the Lord. And we'll be talking more about that Sunday. And I know God has something good in store. Somebody say amen. I heard somebody's stomach growl already. Amen. It's amazing tonight that bass didn't groan. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. How many enjoy Doc and Sid? Amen. Amen. And I still don't remember what a real name is. We always called it Saint in Development, S-I-D. Psalm 74. We're going to talk about Leviathan tonight. Psalm 74, verse 12. And the scripture says, for God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood, thou driest up mighty rivers. And let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We believe you for that tonight, God, and we pray that, Lord, every work of the adversary be bound in Jesus' name. In our nation, Father God, in this upcoming election, in Jesus' name, that, Lord, that you will move mightily in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we give you thanks and praise. And everybody said amen. Amen. Just to maybe try to lay a little bit of foundation tonight before we actually get maybe to where I'm going, is that this Leviathan is a spiritual being. Everybody say a spiritual being that breaks. A spirit also with multiple heads. This is one of the things that the scripture says. Everybody say multiple heads. Multiple heads. Let's read what it says right here. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. So it's a spirit of multiple heads. And one of the things that we read here is that God gives this creature as meat for the people in the wilderness. Somebody say, that's us. Say, the enemy's meat for me. Meat for me. And he's talking about people that are on their way to inheritance. So one of the things that we learn in this scripture is that this spirit is assigned to keep us from getting into our inheritance. It's assigned to do that. And so God in the scripture is the only one that can deal with this rascal. He's given us great power, great authority, but God wants us to understand we need to seek him in the overcoming and the conquering and the destruction of the works of this particular spirit. So the key to seeing it conquered and overcome is to know how it operates and what it's doing. And I can tell you, man, it's working big time in America. In Psalm 104, verses 24 and 26, it says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them. The earth is full of thy riches. So is the great and the wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, and there is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. So here he talks about the great and the wide sea. And this can stand for lots of things. Lots of times in scripture when it talks about the sea, it's talking about masses of people. It also can speak about trials and things like that. Also standing for the deep things of God. Leviathan does not want you to get to the deep things of God. He's there to stop you, to hinder you from launching out into the deep. Because the deep things of God is where you want to be. Amen? We want the deep things of God. So to keep you from having that great catch, entering into that blessing that God, that inheritance that God has for you. And so the Hebrew words describe him as a twisting, crooked serpent. That's important. Twisting, crooked serpent. So this refers to him also as wearing down his prey, bringing fatigue, bringing weariness, bringing slumber to the people. You know, when you're in a wrestling match against the adversary, don't you get tired? When you're giving yourself in prayer, when you're giving yourself in fasting, when you're standing against the gates of hell or the working of the enemy, it's really tiring when you really war. And see, one of the things that this spirit does is that he is continuous, systematic in his attack. It kind of lines up with what the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians when he says, wrestling against the wiles of the devil. That word methodius, orderly, systematic procedures in the handling of his subjects. It's meant to wear you down, fatigue you, cause you to give up, cause you to fall short of where God wants you to go or intends for you to have. Amen? Amen. Somebody say it's important in the wilderness to keep going until you get out, until you get out. It also is like when your eyelids get heavy. How many knows what I'm talking about? Your eyelids get heavy. You get sleep and slumber. Remember in the scripture, Jesus is talking about the 10 virgins, the very last days. And what did he say? They all slumbered. They all slept. And man, I'm telling you, sometimes when you're praying, it's like your eyelids are like weigh 1,000 pounds apiece. It's like, I'm so tired, I just don't know whether I can wage war. You know, when you start reading the scripture, you fall asleep. Or when the preaching of the word comes, and man, the fire of God is falling and the Holy Ghost is moving, people fall asleep. You know, and that's the work of this spirit trying to, to wear us out. It wants to make us tired. I hear people say that all the time. I'm tired. Especially young people. I think it's their favorite phrase. I'm tired. I'm tired. How many knows what I'm talking about? Every teenager says, I'm tired. I'm tired. And it's almost like the older people have more energy than the younger people now. But this spirit, it likes to work on the redeemed of the Lord, the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, and causing our eyelids to get heavy, to slumber and to sleep. And I've always thought that that was amazing, that the 10 virgins, all of them slumbered, all of them slept. And so it's important for us to understand is that, that when you're tired, when you're fatigued, when you become weary, you become vulnerable. Never make a decision when you're tired or when you're vulnerable or when you're compromised. Never make a decision when you're worn down. It'll be the wrong one. Amen. Make sure that you get rested up in Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 27 says this, in that day, so there is a day, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. See, there is a day appointed, especially with churches, the move of God, the things of God that God has appointed, that when that day comes, he's going to deal with this serpent. Somebody say, God's going to deal with it. God's going to deal with it. He will punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Everybody say, in the midst of the people. Amen. So this creature, according to when we look at it in scripture, he's always found in the sea, the ocean. He's always found there. He's a sea monster. He's a river monster, you could say. So in the midst of people, Ezekiel 29, verse number 3. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which had said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws. I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales, and I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers, thou shalt fall upon the open fields, thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given you thee for meat to the beast of the field and to the fowls of heaven. He's talking specifically about the people that are in the wilderness. All right? So listen, God refers to the Pharaoh as a great dragon or a monster. That's interesting, isn't it? He does. And what does God say? I will put hooks in your jaws because he has multiple heads, right? Leviathan has multiple heads. So God cuts him up in pieces and he feeds him to his people in the wilderness. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So some of the characteristics of this spirit is that this spirit of the sea monster is also referred to as a crocodile. When you look up the Hebrew words, it's a crocodile. A crocodile, now listen to me, a crocodile can live underwater for about 12 minutes at a time before it submerges. God is trying to reveal something to us. The devil always operates in a stealthy manner. And when he goes under, you better believe it, he's not down there taking a nap. If you go to Florida or some of these glades or some of these places or some of these rivers where there's crocodiles, you better watch out and be weary that those two little things that come above the water and start looking are the eyes of Leviathan waiting to pounce on you. In Job chapter 42, this is what it says in verse 1. Can you draw out the Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope into his nose or pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spike? Will he make many supplications to you, begging to be spared? Will he speak soft words to you to coax you to treat him kindly? Will he make a covenant with you to take him for your servant forever? Will you play with the crocodile as with a bird? Or will you put him on a leash for your maidens? Will traders bargain over him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? And in verse number 7, can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand upon him and remember your battle with him. Remember your battle with him. You'll not do such an ill-advised thing again. He's telling you, if you try to deal with Leviathan yourself, you are going to know you got entangled with something you wished you hadn't touched. Because God says, you got to ask me to deal with this devil. You got to seek me to deal with this. Listen, lay your hand upon him and remember your battle with him. You will not do such as an ill-advised thing again. Behold, the hope of his assailant is disappointed. One is cast down even at the sight of him. No one is so fierce and foolhardy that dares to stir up the crocodile. Who then is he who can stand before me, the beast, creator, or dares to contend with me? So God is telling you, man, look, God is able to deal with Leviathan. All he has to do is point the finger, breathe a word, think a thought, and he can take him out. But this spirit right here that he's talking about with the multiple heads, Leviathan, he's telling us, he said, don't you try to do this yourself. Because you're not cunning enough to outdo him. You're not strong enough to overcome him in your own strength or power. You got to have a knowledge of what's going on and a knowledge of God and a knowledge of his word. Somebody say amen. Amen. So another characteristic, a full fourth of the crocodile's body is mouth. I'm going to say that again. A full fourth of the crocodile's body is all mouth. And he has about 1,100 teeth. How many have you got? Somebody say I was born at 32. Is that right? Give or take a few now. So he has no incisors. He has or capacity like an incisor tooth. He has no hook teeth or anything like that. They're just straight. Man, you ever seen a crocodile's mouth? Amen. And so their teeth aren't for grinding, and they're not hooked to grab like that and tear the flesh off. So when you're trying to wrestle with this, you got to understand, one of the things that they do is they work in clusters. One crocodile will grab you. The other crocodile will come and grab a limb or an arm or whatever that it is. If you see some of these things on Africa, the wildebeest or whatever, and he'll begin to twist and dismember that animal. And that's what the devil intends to do. It's almost like when he attacks the body of Christ, his desire is to dismember the body, cause factions and divisions. Because he's at work in the midst of the sea. He's waiting in that stealthy manner underwater at the precise moment. And what did he say? Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeketh who he may devour. So that tells you he's watching and he's waiting for that particular moment where he can strike. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, carry a sharp sword. Amen. He's waiting. So there's two particular times that this enemy comes. The first one is when you're trying to get out of bondage. When you're trying to get out of bondage, we'll correlate this with Scripture. When you're trying to get out of bondage, because what he does is he comes and he strikes. He will grab and he'll hold you and tell you that you can't go. I mean, is that true? Yeah, yeah. So when you're trying to get out of bondage, see, that's the same thing the Israelites did when they were in Egyptian bondage. The devil said, you're not going anywhere. I got you exactly where I want you. I'm going to keep you here as a slave. You're going to stay right here. But how many knows when God gets ready, when that day comes and God shows up, he'll bring you out of bondage. Secondly, when you're entering your inheritance, this is why the wilderness is so important. You remember when Israel was coming out of Egyptian bondage that God didn't take them the easy route, but he took them by the wilderness. Why did he take them by way of the wilderness? So that he could make an army out of them. Somebody say, the wilderness is a good place to be made a good soldier. Amen. So we bemoan the fact that sometimes when we're in the wilderness, we don't understand everything that's going on and why am I in hardships and trials and why am I in such a battle. It's because God is forging and forming and molding us into soldiers to be able to really fight. Amen? To learn some things. Somebody say to learn something. You don't learn much on a mountaintop or in the middle of a rose garden. But you learn some things if you're in the wilderness. Somebody say yes, amen. So the wilderness prepares you like nothing else can prepare you, all right? It prepares you to learn to overcome by eating Leviathan food. Somebody say, devil, you're meat for me. Say, my God is going to cut you up in little pieces, and I'm going to have a table prepared before me in the presence of my enemies, and I'm going to eat you piece by piece in Jesus' name. You're not eating me. You have to go through God first. And in Numbers chapter number 13 is a really good picture of this. You remember when the 12 spies are sent into the land of Canaan to spy it out, and they go in. And so they're there, and God has told them it's a land that flows of milk and honey, and man, the produce is good and all these things. And then the Bible says that they return. They come back. And they say, man, the land is just like God said that it was, and you know, the fruit of the land, etc. It's just exactly like that. But nevertheless is the word. Everybody say nevertheless. There are, you know, nevertheless, the Anakim dwell there. The giants are in the land. Is that what the Bible said? Yes. The giants are in the land. And the people are fierce. You got the Hittites, Jebusites, and Hittites, and all the Canaanite nations and all these people, and they're fierce warriors. And they kept this up, and they went on until they came to the place that they actually said that there's no way that we can take it. You remember the story? There's no way that we can take it. And so they return and they tell these things. The produce of the land is great. Land flows of milk and honey. All of these things. And so what happened with them is that Leviathan began to speak to them. His mouth is a what? Fourth of his body. How does Leviathan get to speaking when people repeat what he says? How does Leviathan get his strongholds built when we yield to his rhetoric? Somebody say he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And so think about this, because a third of Leviathan's body is his head. And he's got multiple heads, multiple heads. And he does what? He twists, he twists, he twists his victims. So the spirit of a Leviathan has the ability to dismember and tear apart. So these spies, when they're out there and they come back, they begin to do this. And what happens? They begin to twist the people in unbelief. And just a few moments of time, Caleb and Joshua jump. Caleb stands up and he says, wait a minute, let's go right now. Let's take it right now. God is with us. He's already told us what the land is. And if God has revealed this to us, then he's going to do what he said that he would do. Amen? That's what he said. But that didn't make a bit of difference to them, did it? Because the Bible said that the people wept all night long. They cried and they said, we cannot do this. What we need to get right here is when Leviathan shows up, he's very convincing and he likes to poison people and infect them, because he's beginning his process of twisting. He can make God look little. But he can't make God look little if you're a born-again believer full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And you know who you are. Somebody say amen. But his job, you look right now. It is amazing to me. You know, the twisting of the truth is happening in this Democratic convention. And this needs to be said publicly. Because they're giving free abortions. Free abortions. You know why? Because they got the blood of babies right there. The power of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us is our victory and our hope. And I want you to know the devil is bloodthirsty too. Blood is power to him. He wants the life that's in that blood of that little baby that's being born. And it's amazing to me that they are offering free abortions. And they also will give free vasectomies. They have it set up right there, advertising it. Did you see it on television? Did you see that? That is a direct blasphemous language that's coming forth from the Democratic Party. And honest before God, I don't see how anybody that calls themselves a Christian, I would jump out of that thing so fast it'd make your head swim. I wouldn't be part of anything that had the devil as the head of it. Listen, when they pray to God, it ain't the God. They're praying to something else other than Jehovah or Yahweh or Yeshua. They're praying to something else. They're not praying to my God, because my God is not a murderer. Jesus said the thief has come before to kill, steal, and destroy. And so that's the work of Leviathan, because why? There are myriads of people right now, the anti-Semitic, they're full of hate. They're immoral. They're ungodly. They don't want to hear the truth. Amen. So Leviathan has jumped in and twisted their thinking and their hearing. The way Leviathan works is like, I can come up to you and stand before you and I can tell you something and you will hear something opposite from what I said. You will walk away from me if I tell you something, and it will be twisted in your hearing, and you'll go say, Pastor Coleman said so-and-so, and Pastor Coleman didn't say that. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you speak. Man, if you go say something, say it right. Somebody say amen. And so this spirit takes what you say and it twists it. Well, you got to love everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're not supposed to love sin. You're not supposed to love evil. You're not supposed to fellowship with evildoers either. That's scriptural. You're not supposed to hang out with them. Somebody say amen. Why? Because that thing will rub off on you. While old Leviathan's got one mouth running over here, he's multiple-headed. He'll be saying something else over here and something else over here and something else over here. And your mind will be like a twister, and you'll be so messed up in your thinking and theology. I meet people like that all the time, and I know you do. Amen. But isn't it amazing that you can stand and talk to someone and they'll walk away and say that you said something you didn't say? That is a twisting serpent. That is Leviathan. That is Leviathan. Remember old Satan showed up in the wilderness where Jesus was. Jesus had a wilderness, didn't he? Went into the wilderness. He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. The devil tried to twist scripture to him. Come on. To try to get him to see or believe something else. Amen. If he did it to him, he'll do it to you. He twisted it. He twisted it. That's why it's important. You see, you know, in the end times, it said the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And so there's a lot of doctrines of demons coming out of Chicago right now. Amen. I've never heard so many lies. You know, I got to be careful. They'll kick us off of TV, but you read between the lines. You know exactly what I'm saying. That's a Leviathan spirit. It's a Leviathan spirit. And so this multi-headed sea dragon, and it is a monster. Somebody said it is a monster. It's an ugly thing. It is an ugly thing because what he does is he waits for that opportune time. And listen. And if we were to go back in time and look at America right now, we were to go back at the court cases that involved Vattel or Muriel Hare, if we were to look at those cases in 62, 63, and 64, when Bible reading was taken from school and prayer was no longer, and you couldn't use the name of Jesus and et cetera, and those things. You see, God morality was cast out the window, kicked out the door. Since that time, we've had a downfall in our nation. The graphs are real plain. They start, you know, we're up here where morality is concerned, and it's constantly went downhill. And we're right now at the bottom of the bowl and in danger of judgment. Because we think that God won't judge anything. Listen, it's not about judgment, it's about it is written. God's not going to show up with thunder and lightning and start killing people. All he's telling you said, look, if you violate these laws, these things will happen. He said that in scripture. What is he doing? His word is going to work and come to pass regardless. If you violate the laws, you pay the price and the penalty. It's because God has already said it. It is written. Somebody say it's written. But Leviathan twists that. And you got preachers that want to preach straight and tell the truth. And they'll say, they're too hard. They're too hard. They don't have any love. Oh, no, no, no. They're the ones with the love. They're warning you. Somebody say amen. And so Leviathan, in the mouths of those people, listen, remember that crocodile? He's all mouth. Somebody say all mouth. They come, and what do? With their mouth, they convinced the whole nation it can't be done. Didn't matter what God said. The twisting serpent. Somebody say the twisting serpent. And so he goes underwater. He's there. He's in a stealthy manner. And he's waiting for that opportune time to lunge out and attack his victims with his teeth and grab them. That multiple-headed serpent that God says, you walk with me and you seek my kingdom and you draw near to me and you pray and you fast and you speak my word and I will put a hook in Leviathan's jaws. I will take care of his heads. I'm going to serve them up for you and you're going to have Leviathan stew. I don't know what that would taste like. You might get the hiccups. But the multiple heads shows the capacity of these spirits working together. That's another thing that we need to get. And so, you know, when spirits work together and organize, they know exactly what end result that they are seeking. And all they have to do is to start a rumor. All they have to do is to tell a lie or to twist the truth a little bit. I would say the most dangerous thing out there is a half-truth, which is nothing more than a lie, that people will believe it. My God, I mean, you know, you meet people, say, oh, yeah, I read the Bible. You know, good day, they hadn't read no Bible. They might have read the Atlas or something like that, but they ain't read no Bible. Mm-hmm. But they'll swear up and down that they know that scripture. And I say, well, my God, I've been studying this for 50 years, and I don't know nothing like they know. Amen? Come on. So, one will hold the other. They work together and they twist and they work and they dismember and they cause confusion and they cause all the stuff that the devil causes, killing, stealing, destroying, all of these things. David in the Psalm said this in Psalm 56, verse 5. He said, "Mine enemy does daily twist my words." I didn't say that. I did not say that. How many have ever said that? How many have ever had somebody, you told somebody something, they went and said you said something else? He said, "I did not say that. I don't know where you got it." Well, you thought it. Oh, God. How many has ever heard that one? So as I said, you meet that spirit in two distinct places in life. And so here Israel is coming in, and the Leviathan stopped them from going into their inheritance. You meet him also when you come into that inheritance, when you're ready to inherit. Somebody say to inherit. And so here that congregation was, they wept all night long, all this kind of stuff. And you know the severe judgments that came against them. This spirit was so powerful that it got into all the people except for Caleb and Joshua. And what does the Bible say about Caleb and Joshua? It said they had an excellent spirit, said they were full of faith. Look at somebody say, "I want an excellent spirit." That means that I don't want anything that's not excellent in me. I want an excellent spirit. I want the spirit of the living God in my life. So this spirit, when he comes, it's just like this. Now, you know, in debating. Facebook's a good place to debate. But you choose your battle, my friend. Because that spirit is a spirit of Leviathan, and it will wear you out. It's like I say this, I don't have time for that in my real estate. I got enough up here. Bing! Somebody said, don't want it. Don't want it. Choose your battles. And if I'm going to go to war, I want to know my spoils like David did. What's going to be the prize when I get done fighting? Because if I'm coming out of that, I want to come forth with some loot. When those Hebrews came out, they came out with gold and silver and health and wealth and blessing. Somebody say amen. They came out. And so we got to be careful, because one of the greatest sins that Israel committed was murmuring. Murmur, complaining and murmuring. My God. You know, pillar of fire by night, pillar of fire by day, God defeating their enemies, opening the Red Sea. And every time God turned around, they were murmuring, complaining. "I don't like manna. Can't we have some meat?" God said, "Yeah, Leviathan. I'm going to give you some meat that's going to strengthen you in this wilderness to teach you how to fight." Somebody say, "Hey, yeah. See, but the spirit is, you're coming into that inheritance. As you're coming into that inheritance, he wants to stop you. He wants to stop you before you inherit the promise. He wants to stop you short of that. He wants to cause you to be so worn out and fatigued and weary and all this kind of stuff, just beating down my life. And listen, right now, one of the best things that you can do is turn that television off. I'm serious. Turn it off. I was telling somebody the other day, I think it was Sid and Doc, you know, when I first got saved, and I didn't watch that much TV anyway back then. And so I got hooked up with, you know, I got hooked up in church, and there was this family came that were coming that had started coming there, and they had taken their shotguns and shot all the televisions. Yeah, just pulled the old 12-gauge out. Harry Reasoner, Walter Cronkite, shot them all the sitcoms and everything. And so now I went about 7 years and didn't even look at a TV. And so the day people come up and say, "Yeah, you remember that sitcom?" I said, I didn't even know there was one, because I lost that whole era of life. Amen. Like Deborah would tell you, that stuff, I don't even know what was on the television. I couldn't tell you what their names were, where they were from, what the name of the program was, or anything else. And I didn't miss the TV, because I spent that time with the Lord. See, but here we are today, because that television will twist your mind up. It'll cause you to question yourself, question your righteousness, question your peace, question your God, because it's the twisting spirit. And you're going to say, my God, everybody else is saying that it's all right. No, just because the multitude says it's all right, I'd rather stand with one that knows the truth, and that's Jesus, that knows what's right and wrong, rather than have Leviathan get in my ear and start twisting stuff. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so it's important, you know, for me to understand that in my wilderness time, God wants me there to depend upon him. He took them through there. Why? The reason he wanted them to know, he said, look, I will feed you. I will give you water. I will fight for you. I will defeat your enemies. That doesn't mean that you're going to be floating around in a cloud of ease. That means you're going to have to faith and put your faith in me, and you're going to have to call on my name. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm going to teach you to call on my name, because that's one of the things the church has gotten far away from. We got the gimmicks, we got the gadgets and everything else, but we very seldom talk about the name. Amen. And you got so much bizarre stuff going on today in the name that's not even in the name of Jesus. That just people just do stuff, and everybody thinks it's right and doesn't even know what the scripture says. The Leviathan spirit is a twisting spirit. He is a twisting spirit. So if you are experiencing insomnia, heavy eyelids, confusion, if you are experiencing weariness, tiredness, depression, fatigue, that's Leviathan at work. Amen. That's Leviathan. Ask God. Say, Father, this monster has been terrorizing my life. You said in the Word you would put a hook in his jaws. You said you would turn him around, that you would yank him out of that water, that you would throw him out in the wilderness and cut him up in little bitty pieces and give me the meat to eat. And I'm asking to dine well today. Amen. And could I have a glass of goat milk too with it? Amen. See, God wants us to depend upon him. And I think that that's going to be a real important thing in the days to come, is that we learn dependence on him. Dependence in Jesus. Depend upon him for everything. Amen. It's just like, you know, what the enemy wants you to believe, you know, is that is that God can't meet your need. He wants you to believe that God's not big enough, not able. If God was big enough, then how come he already hasn't showed up and defeated the devil? He defeated the devil on the cross, my friend. The enemy is powerless against you. He cannot kill you. He cannot stop you. He can do nothing. He can hinder you in ways if you allow him to do it. And so when you're in that wilderness, God's allowing you the time to grow, to become an army. Amen. And when God got through with Israel, they knew how to fight. But now listen to me, because I'm closing right here on this. We may get into part two of that next time. But, you know, when they went and settled their land, they were content to let their adversary live in their backyard. Is that what God said to do? Something twisted their theology and thinking into believing it was all, well, they're down here, and you know, it's not going to matter. Oh. Molech, Baal, Asherah, all these gods that are out there that entered our nation in the 1960s, especially when we kicked God out of the school system, is now we see the fruits of that coming forth like we've never seen it before. There are thousands of young people that were raised in church, spoke in tongues, loved Jesus, worked in ministry, that are now confused about whether they're male or female. They've left home and have married the opposite sex. Don't tell me Leviathan ain't at work. If you don't know whether you're a man or woman or not, you're confused, my friend. Leviathan has twisted your thinking. Amen? That's because you can never be content with the devil in the back room of your tent. You got to ask God, move this out. And say, God, stir up my thinking and deal with my heart so that I will never be content with Leviathan in my tent or any demon in my tent. God, I don't want to be at the place that I don't recognize that there's a devil living over here in the back part of my yard. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray tonight that you, Holy Spirit, will help us to be more discerning, more alert, more sober, righteous than ever before. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for more grace for the people of God that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, Lord, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Lord, that you will touch us with the spirit of truth, that we will be overflowing with discernment to see through every lie and deception and delusion of the enemy. Father, keep us from the evil that is in this world. Lord God in heaven, keep us from the evil one. You taught us to pray that, Jesus. And Lord, tonight, so we say, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever. Amen. So, Father, we pray that tonight. And we pray, let there be light. The entrance of your word gives light. Darkness cannot thrive, Lord, where there is light. And I pray that, God, that the light in your people will grow so intense and so bright that, Father God, that it exposes and flushes out of every city and major place, Father God, Lord, in Washington, D.C., every false thing, every demonic doctrine, every lie, Lord, every work of Leviathan in Jesus' name, make it so plain that people wake up out of their slumber, wake up out of their sleep, Father God in heaven, and shake themselves in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, Father God, that the church arise, O Lord God, arise in the name of Jesus. Invigorated, Father God, transformed, renewed, revived, restored, refreshed in Jesus' name. Send that heavenly rain, Lord God, that affects everything, Lord. Pour out upon the church to be, Father God, not weary, not fatigued, not tired, but full of the spirit of might and power, the energia of God in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, we receive that tonight and thank you for it right now. God in heaven has said that you're greater in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you're here tonight and you want prayer specifically over something, I want you to come, we'll pray for you. Be glad to pray for you before we go tonight. Is there anybody?